Let's pause. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Your word, which is so rich and full. At times it can be challenging, at times it can be puzzling, at times it could be confusing. And so help us to take these words, help us as we try to apply them in our lives, in our own situations. May they be helpful and useful in our growth. And so may all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're continuing on the series of the cycle of blessings, and today we are talking about the currency of leadership. As Jesus was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he was exhibiting his leadership. And a lot of times in his leadership, what he says makes us feel uncomfortable, makes us kind of squirm, or even bothers us quite a bit. But he is showing courage. He is showing what it means to be a leader. In our conference in the California, Southern California and Hawaii district, we have a new bishop. Her name is Minerva Carcano. And she has been really showing us what it means to be a courageous leader. Now, last December, I don't know if you follow, been following what's happening on the national stage in the United Methodist Church, but there was a Reverend Frank Schaefer who was part of the Pennsylvania Conference. And so his son was gay, and his son asked him to perform a wedding. And so Reverend Schaefer felt like he could not abandon his son and agreed. Funny thing is, a few years later, someone brought up charges, and so in our system, the bishops then convene a council and put him on trial. And so Reverend Schaefer was found to be guilty of violating the Book of Discipline, and he was essentially kicked out. He was kicked to the curb. He was stripped of his ministerial duties. Within 24 hours of that happening, when the final decision was made, our bishop called him on the phone and said, "You are welcome to join us. You are welcome to be in our conference and in ministry with us." And then last week, our bishop was at the gates of Washington, D.C., at the White House. And she gathered with a group of other clergy and other lay people, and they decided to go to the steps of the White House, or the gate there, and they prayed. And they were there to voice their opinion, saying, "Please stop deporting people." The group was then arrested and then released. Shortly thereafter, MSNBC interviewed her. In both of these cases, what the bishop was saying was she was doing what she was doing because she was being obedient to the Bible. In Jeremiah 22:3, it says, "Do what is just, do what is right, do no wrong, and do no violence to the foreigner." She said, "We are willing to be arrested in front of the White House to tell the president to have compassion, and that compassion can begin with the pen." She also said in Spanish, "We United Methodists believe that all persons should have the opportunity to be employed. We have the right to feed our families and to be able to provide housing for our loved ones." With regards to Reverend Schaefer's case, she said, "We exclude no one from the care of our ministry and commit our work to eliminate any barriers that would prohibit anybody from being included in our covenant life together in Christ Jesus. We are acting out of the belief that God's grace and love is available to all people." Now, we may not fully understand her stance. Some of us may not agree with her stance, but we do admire her, because she takes risks, and she takes a stand, and she is brave. And we want that in our leaders. We want our leaders to be courageous. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, and he is teaching us what it means for the courage of leadership or the blessings of leadership. And so if you see the cycle of blessings up there, the currency of gracious leadership, which is the one on the top to the left there. So people are drawn to leaders who are able to bring people together and who are able to work with a variety of people. Now, if we take a look at chapter 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he is saying, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the gentle, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So when he is listing all these different types of blessings of people, usually those kinds of people are not the people in power. They're not the popular people. They're not the mainstream, but they tend to be other people, humble people, diverse people, people different from us even. So what Jesus is trying to encourage in that part of the Sermon on the Mount is diversity and inclusion. Now, his leadership is reflective of this, not just in the preaching, but also in his choice of disciples, also in his ministry. When we are looking at the Samaritan woman at the well, or what about the leper, or what about the Syrophoenician woman, or the fisherman, or the tax collector, or even Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, these people all become his disciples. Now, the only people that seem to have a hard time with Jesus are those who feel like they're entitled, those who are of the elite, those who are arrogant, those who are thinking that they're better than anybody else. But Jesus makes the extra effort to reach out to a diverse group of people, include a wide variety of people, and bring them together. Leaders are also able to raise tough issues or raise issues that are troubling, also those pivotal issues. And one of them was in the very first verse in chapter 5 of verse 38, where Jesus says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now that law is in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So it's a prominent law in the book of Moses. According to this one commentary I was reading, when we subscribe to this law of an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, what it means, it almost legalizes retaliation or revenge. In its worst form, it justifies violence. So if someone does something to you, then you are allowed to return the violence. But if we return violence for violence, it only causes more woundedness. It only causes more pain and more chaos. And so Jesus is talking about this, raising the issue as being troubling. But what makes Jesus more brave and bold and courageous is he's just not attacking this law, but he is criticizing the institution. The irony is that leaders tend to protect the institution, or they tend to preserve the institution, or they tend to perpetuate the institution. But in this case, Jesus is criticizing and confronting the institution, calling it to change and reform. If you remember the time when he went into the temple and turned over the tables because they were becoming too much of an institution, they were becoming more and more concerned about the finances more so than spirituality or prayer and praise and worship. When people start to become subservient to the institution, when people become exploited by the institution or oppressed by the institution or enslaved to the institution, then something is wrong. The institution should be there to serve people, not the other way around. So leaders then are able to raise tough issues. But leaders also tap into the root of our conscience. Leaders are supposed to be transparent. So it's not about the ego, it's not about pride, it's not about the person. So whoever slaps you on the right, turn the other cheek. If anyone wants to sue you for your shirt, give your coat. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go two. Now this passage makes us uncomfortable because is Jesus saying, if someone takes advantage of you, let them? Or if someone is abusing you, then encourage them? Is Jesus saying, just let yourself become a victim over and over again? Or is Jesus saying, you know what? You need to be codependent with this offender. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. Jesus is trying to offer a generous spirit. And he goes way to the extreme to make these points. He is saying that we need to be about grace, and we need to be about going the extra mile. We need to be about sharing. And so when we extend the spirit of generosity to the offender or to the taker, then it's kind of like a strike against them, asking them the same question, because Jesus is speaking to them at the same time. Jesus is saying, take a look at your motive, take a look at your actions, in case you might be taking advantage of somebody else, in case you might be abusing somebody else, take a step back. But to be open, to be generous, to be kind, and to have endurance. Jesus is trying to create the kingdom of warmth and love and mercy and grace. Now, the part about verse 48 is the last part where it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Is it possible to be perfect? Realistically, nobody can be perfect. We are human and we continue to make mistakes. We continue to have blind spots. We continue to have oversights. We continue to make mistakes. We continue to say things we don't mean to say, but we just say them out of impulse. But when we recognize that, those blind spots and missteps and mistakes, what are we supposed to do? Well, hopefully we're remorseful, and hopefully we can apologize and make things right and say to ourselves, you know what? I need to listen better. From this, I can learn and communicate better and to grow, because I'm not perfect and I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm moving in the direction of perfection. And what does that mean? What direction is that? It means going forward. Not backward, not staying the same, but forward. You heard of that saying when people say, well, one step forward and two steps back. The important part of that phrase is one step forward, to keep making sure we take that step forward, even though we may slip, even though we may backslide. My definition of perfection is to keep going forward in spite of mistakes. To keep striving, to keep stretching, to keep reaching, to keep marching forward, to keep getting up when we fall. That's my definition of perfection. And leaders are able to do this, to take those steps forward. And leaders are able to help other people to do this. Bringing different people together, working together, pointing out tough issues, confronting injustices, and tapping at the conscience, the root of the conscience, to go forward and grow forward. Because what happens when we find out that we're creating more of this currency of leadership? Well, when this is accessible, when this is available, then more people come. And then those people are blessed, and they bring more people, and more blessings are generated and multiplied. I came across this book the other day, and it was talking about what people are looking for when they are following leaders. And this kind of goes into what our four basic needs are. You could say that we have the need for trust, we have the need for compassion, we want stability, and we want hope. People follow leaders for this reason. Now you say, why does there need to be trust? Well, we all have a need to want to share ourselves with other people. God did not create us to be alone. God did not create us to just live by ourselves, but we have this burning urge to share our lives with other people. And in order for us to do that, there needs to be trust. And so leaders help to build trust, the environment of trust. Compassion, we also talked about that. We are all vulnerable. We all have times when we're vulnerable. But when we are vulnerable, we want somebody to have compassion. We want someone to be able to listen to us, someone who can try and understand us. And we want to find someone who will accept us and not judge us. We want compassion. Because when there's no compassion, then we close up. We become defensive, and we languish, and we deteriorate without compassion. We want stability because the world continues to shift and change and be chaotic, and things around us tend to be crumbling. And somehow leaders are there to provide that anchor. Leaders are that pillar, a solid rock or a firm foundation, and we look for leaders to lean on. We look for leaders to hang on, to be our shelter when the storms of life are raging. And ultimately, we do want hope. Hope that, yes, things will get better. Hope that, yes, this is incomplete, but it will be moving towards completion. Yes, we live in the unknown, but ultimately, our questions will be answered. That's hope. And that the broken will be restored and that things that are broken will be made right and made whole. There's that hope. There will be meaning. There will be purpose. And that we're not living for nothing and that we're not living in vain. That there is hope. And so leadership is offered and made available, and the blessings become bountiful. Because with leadership and with this increase and improvement of blessings, there is joy, there is peace, there is strength, and there is life. I just leave those thoughts with you today as we continue to work towards the building up of leaders. Amen.